The word of the day is inflation. Plenty of it. I'm David Brancaccio. There's word that prices have gone up 7% in a year. That's the highest reading for the Consumer Price Index in 40 years at the end of what was then called the Great Inflation, when home mortgages had interest rates of 16%. True prices didn't grow as fast in the month just ended than they had a month earlier. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at the investment firm Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
The highest inflation readings on the headline measure since the early 1980s. And I think the most notable thing here for me, though, is the bond market's sort of non-reaction. Interest rates still very low, even though we've got quite high inflation readings.
Yeah, it's sort of bizarre. The 10-year yield is down on this news today. Go figure. And although mortgage rates, for instance, have been rising over the last week, still, it's not like 1982 when a mortgage cost just 16%.
Yeah, as a bond market economist, a bond market investor looking at this, the conclusion that the bond market seems to be drawing is that the inflation we're seeing will be short-lived, that a lot of the sharp rise in prices in the last 12 months is due to pandemic-related factors. So the expectation is that inflation will come down. And if it doesn't start coming down soon, by golly, David, the Federal Reserve is going to nudge it in the right direction. The bond market is pricing in 3 rate hikes this year by the Fed as an attempt to rein in the inflation pressures we are seeing.
Yeah, pricing in 3 hikes this year, but there are forecasts from some big investment companies that it could be more than 3.
David, Payden & Riegel, economics team right now looking for 4 rate hikes starting in March.
And it won't end at the end of 2022. There could be more in 2023. Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist, Payden & Riegel, thank you so much.
Have a great week.
U.S. airlines say China has canceled multiple flights today from the U.S. after reports of passengers testing positive for COVID upon landing. For more, here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
China has been limiting the number of flights it accepts since March 2020. According to the Shanghai Daily, over 50 passengers in recent months coming from the U.S. tested positive for COVID after landing. That might not sound like a lot compared to the U.S., but China is operating a zero-tolerance policy. So not only are travelers who test positive subject to even more demanding quarantine measures, but airlines are punished. China's aviation authority has suspended more than a dozen flights from American and Chinese airlines since the start of this year, leaving travelers from the U.S. stranded. Already, travelers must get tested, sometimes multiple times, and apply directly to Chinese embassies and consulates for approval before they're allowed on the flight. Traveling into China is going to be even more stressful. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A report this morning sheds light on just how much people are paying out of pocket for insurance coverage that they get through employers. Employees are paying a bigger percentage of the coverage. A foundation called the Commonwealth Fund finds that in 37 states now, these premiums and deductibles that employees pay now add up to 10% of household income or more. For every dollar a typical person takes home, a dime goes to health coverage in a growing part of the country. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
The report finds that 11.6% of median income now goes towards paying for premiums and deductibles. That's because costs for both are rising while incomes haven't kept up, says Sarah Collins of the Commonwealth Fund.
We're going to continue to see growth in prices over time, and we'll continue to see these trends in affordability and employer plans if these underlying drivers aren't addressed.
The analysis looks at price increases over the decade between when the Affordable Care Act became law and 2020, when the pandemic started. In some states like Mississippi and New Mexico, the share workers' pay is approaching double the national average. Michael Gusmano at Lehigh University says high costs impact decisions people make.
So they give up on care they really need, and or they're just hurt financially because they're not able or willing to give up on the care. So they have to pay more and more out of pocket,
which can result in higher medical debt over time. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
We've been tracking the news that Bank of America will lower its penalty for overdrafts from $35 to $10. Consumer advocates have been pressuring banks to eliminate overdraft or bounce check fees during the pandemic. And several other big banks are cutting these. This trend has the attention of smaller community banks. Marketplace's Justin Ho has that.
Community banks don't have the same scale as the big national banks, but they still have to compete.
So between now and May, we'll analyze and determine what we're going to do.
That's Peter Alden, CEO of Bay State Savings Bank in Massachusetts. It charges a $35 overdraft fee, which Alden says makes up roughly 15% of the bank's bottom line. Now, he says the bank's thinking about ways it could make up that lost revenue if the fee goes away.
You know, we've looked at insurance, we've looked at other opportunities within offering investments for customers and things like that.
Small banks don't have a lot of other options compared to bigger banks, which have more diversified revenue streams, says Kent Belasco, who runs the commercial banking program at Marquette University.
So for a big bank, part of their fee income would be places like wealth management, and they charge fees. They have cash management operations. They charge fees for those.
On the other hand, some people have been stashing away savings since the pandemic started, so banks have a lot of deposits on their balance sheets. Belasco says that will help smaller banks earn more from their core business, making loans.
So they have more money to lend, and as they have more money to lend, they're going to generate interest income, which is going to certainly exceed the overdraft side.
There is a demand for services that let people overdraw their accounts. Dominic Miarton runs the Black-owned Optus Bank in South Carolina. It charges a $35 insufficient funds fee that allows customers to go negative on their balances.
Customers insist on having the option because they do not want to suffer the consequences of their rent payment or their other payments not going through.
Miarton says the service doesn't generate that much revenue for the bank, but he says it's simple, easy to understand, and
it does offer an alternative to much more expensive and much more predatory options that are out there.
In the meantime, he says the bank is working on other services for customers who want short-term loans. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And now there's news that Wells Fargo will give people a 24-hour grace period before hitting them with an overdraft fee, making some other changes as well to fees. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.